Okay, boys. Today's daf is daf Ayin Ches. We're holding four lines from the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amid Beis, and we're continuing to talk about the Isur of marrying a Mitzri Rishon or Mitzri Sheni. The third generation, however, is permissible. The pasuk says, "Bona Mashiv Olvilhem Dor Shlishi Yovilhem Bikal Hashem." Now, the Torah does not distinguish between Zechorim and the Kevois by the din of Mitzri. By the Amoinim Yovi, we have made a distinction in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amoinim v'li Amoinis, Mayaviv v'li Mayavis, based on the Pasuk, Ala shel kidmu, Eschem v'lechem v'mayim, b'derech b'tzeitzchem v'troim, derech shel ish v'kadim, v'li darka shel ish v'kadim, and therefore there's a difference between the menfolk and the ladyfolk. There's no such drasha by the Mitzri. However, we have in the Mishnah, back on Ayin Vav Amid Beis, that Reb Shimon made a kal v'choymer, u'madach memokim she'osar es haschorim iser oylem, vis-a-vis amoini u'meyovi, the Torah says that it's osar forever and ever. What does it say in the pasuk forever and ever? It says over there, doira siri ad oylem, not just doira siri, but osar forever and ever. Nevertheless, the trade was made by the Nekevites. Here, when you're talking about Mitzri, where it's only a two-generation Isur, the third generation already is Mutter, Avad and Avad and the Nekevites are Mutter. That's what Reb Shimon said in the Mishnah. And the Yeser Se'es, at the end of yesterday's Gemara, Reb Shimon said, I even have a Shtikul Raya from the Pasuk. What's a Shtikul Raya from the Pasuk? Because it says, Bonim Ashi Yevod Lehem Dor Shlishi. Enough to say that Dor Shlishi Yavilehem Bekal Hashem. What's the bonim? Bonim v'loi bonai. So therefore, according to Reb Shimon, the women folk of the Mitzriim and Doimim are mutter. Says the Braisa, four lines from the bottom. Toner abonim, bonim v'loi bonai. The drasha we just brought. Divrei Reb Shimon, and therefore the Mitzriois and the Edomiois, all of them are mutter. Already immediately. You don't have to wait for the third generation. They're mutter immediately. Om Rav Yehuda Hari Oimer. It says in the Pasuk, Bonam Ashe Yivod Lehem Dor Shlishi. HaKosef Tolan Beleida. Says Rav Yehuda, the Ikka focus is not on the word Bonam. The Ikka focus is on the Leida. And since when the Leida takes place, you can have boys being born. You can have girls being born. So therefore the Torah is not Machalik. Anyone and everyone that is born into the third generation is mutter. However, prior to that, previous two generations, everybody is osir. Bein zechorim, bein nekevis. So you have a clear-cut machlokes, Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. Reb Shimon says the nekevis are mutter. Reb Yehuda says the nekevis of the mitzris are osir. Om Reb Yochanan, ilav di om Reb Yehuda hakosef tolon beleida leimotze yoda v'ragla v'bisamedrish. Says Rabbi Yochanan, if it wasn't for the fact that Rabbi Yehuda holds that not only the Bonim are Osir, but also the Bonois are Osir for the first two generations, he would not be able to give Zechaneitza. He wouldn't be able to find his way in or out of the Bismedish. Keeping the Omer Mar, Kal Gerim Ikri Kohol. We have another Gemara elsewhere where Rabbi Yehuda takes sides on this famous issue. What is the issue? Mushal, when it says, Liyav Mamzer Bekal Hashem, or when it talks about Liyav Amoini Umeyavi Bekal Hashem. So use the expression Kal Hashem. What does Kal Hashem mean? It normally means among Klal Yisrael. However, there's a machloikis between the Tanoim, whether that has another connotation as well. And according to Yehuda, Kal Gedim Ikri Kol. So therefore, when it says Liyav, for instance, Mamzer Bekal Hashem, or when it says Liyav, but they're saying is not only Kahal Hashem, regular born Jews, but even the Kahal Gerim, those, the Tzigi Kimana, those that have joined Klal Yisrael as Gerim, are also called Kahal. However, there are those that disagree and say Kahal Gerim lo yikri kol, and therefore these Isurim, for instance, Liyav Mamzer Kahal Hashem, only refer to Jews that are born into the faith, born to Jewish men and Jewish women, Masha Enkein, Legabe Gerim. It's a machlekes. Okay, so now, what does it have to do with us? So Rashi explains that according to Reb Yehuda, had Reb Yehuda held like Rip Shimon, that the bonois are mutter. So then if the bonois are mutter, they would have the status of Kahal Gerim, which are Kahal Hashem. If they're Kahal Hashem, how would a Mitzri Rishon or Mitzri Sheni ever go and marry a Mitzris Rishoino or a Mitzris Shnia? You're going to tell me, so they won't marry a Mitzris Rishoino, they won't marry a Mitzris Shnia. No, they have to, because otherwise how are we ever going to have a case of Bonamashi Yavodu Lehem Dor Shlishi Yavodu Lehem B'Kahal Hashem? Good morning, Rabbi. We're on the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amid Beis. So, the Pasuk says that Dor Shlishi, the third generation. Now, what means third generation? Third generation means that there was a Mitzri Rishon that married a Mitzris Rishoina. They had a child, which was then a Mitzri Sheni. That Mitzri Sheni then, in turn, found another family was just like his, where there was a Mitzri Rishon and a Mitzris Rishoina, and they gave birth to a girl. So that girl is now Mitzris Shnia. So now the Mitzri Sheni marries a Mitzris Shnia, and then they have a child who is now the Mitzri Shlishi. Oh, that child is Mutter Lovet Bekal. That's the Dor Shlishi Yovda Mekal Hashem. But that's only because the Mitzri Rishon is able to marry the Mitzris Rishoina. If you're going to go and tell me that a Mitzris Rishoina, he's not allowed to go marry, we're never going to get to the Mitzri Shlishi. We're never going to get to that Dor Shlishi. Because obviously, a Mitzri Rishon cannot marry a Jewish girl, because that's the Isser of the, you're not allowed to go and take a Mitzri and marry them. So the only possibility to begin to a third generation Mitzri would be Mitzri Rishon together with a Mitzris Rishoina, then a Mitzri Sheni marries a Mitzris Shnia, and then finally that third generation, the Einikah, will be Mutter.
Doesn't that actually be equal generations? It could also be like a Mitzri Rishon marrying a Sheni or something, right?
That is a very good point that you're raising. The Gemara is going to discuss that a little bit further down. Okay. At the moment, the Gemara does not address that issue. If you recall, the only time we had addressed that issue was with our friend Minyamin. Not that he was my friend, but that's what Rabbi Yehuda referred to him as back on Ayin Vav Amid Beis, Ayin Vav Amid Beis, the third line from the top, Vatanya Amrib Yehuda, Minyamin Ger Mitzri Hoyili Chover. I had a good friend, Minyamin, who was a Ger Mitzri, Mitalmidei Rabbi Akiva. Omar, he said about himself, Minyamin, Ani Mitzri Rishon, I'm a Ger, I'm a Mitzri Rishon, Minasasi Mitzris Rishon, I know I'm not allowed to go marry a Jewish girl, so I married a convert just like me, a Mitzris Rishon. And now we have, Baruch Hashem, a son, who's now a Mitzri Sheni, Esolivni, Mitzris Shnia, Kidei Shehei Ben Benoi, or Ben Beni, Roy Lava Bekal. Right? So we see exactly the case that we're discussing. Rishon married a Rishonah, a Sheni will marry Mitzri Shnia, and they're going to have a Shlishi. Your question about mixing the generations will be addressed a little bit further down in today's part. So it says now, Rabbi Yochanan, since Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Isser of marrying a Mitzri applies also to a Mitzris Rishoino or Mitzris Shnia, in other words, the Isser is not only on the menfolk, but also on the ladyfolk, then he has speared the question of how are we ever going to get to a Mitzri Shlishi? Well, what do you mean? Because the Mitzri Rishon will marry Mitzris Rishoina, and the Mitzri Sheni will marry Mitzris Shnia. That's the only person he can go marry. He can't go and marry a Jewish girl, because that's awesome. But he is allowed to go and marry other Mitzriois who happen to be just like him, that happen to be converts. That's only because he holds that they are not Mutter Lovi Bekol. So then the two, Matzah Minas Minoi, it's a wonderful Shidduch. However, if you're going to go and tell me that the Mitzriois are mutter, to go and they're just like the Ammonioids, which are mutter. So the Mitzriois are mutter. So then, if that's the case, if he were to hold, like Reb Shimon, that the Mitzriois are mutter, and Reb Yehuda also holds at the same time, Kahal Gerim Ikri Kol, meaning that those Mitzriois, which are mutter to be among the ranks of Klal Yisrael, are considered to be like born Jewesses, then Oy Bazoi, how will a Mitzri Rishon ever marry one of these ladies? Whether she's a Mitzris Rishoina or a Mitzris Shnia, he won't be able to marry them because they are Kal. And we know that Only Dor Shlishi Yovel Behem Bekal Hashem. But the Dor Rishon and the Dor Sheni are not allowed to go Bekal Hashem. And so therefore, it says, Rabbi Yochanan, Baruch Hashem, that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Shimon, and he holds that these mitzriyos are also asur, and therefore they don't rise to the kalgerim ikri kohol, they remain out of the rubric of kohol, because they are still asurois lekohol. Oh, so then the mitzri is allowed to go and marry the mitzris. Otherwise he would be stuck, and that's what the Gemara says at the top. Mitzri sheni b'mayitar. When we say Mitzri sheni b'mayitar, we don't mean that he should become Torah, because he'll never become Torah, but he means how could he ever produce a Dor Shlishi? Because after all, he is not allowed to marry either a Bas Yisrael or marry a Giyoris, meaning even a Mitzris Rishoyna or Shnia. Therefore, that's why Rabbi Yehuda internally now works. He could continue to hold, like the Poshet Halacha, not like Rabbi Shimon, the Mitzriyos are Osir, therefore they don't become Kohol, and that's the reason why a Mitzri Rishon or Sheni would be able to marry a Mitzri Rishon or Shnia.
Is the Gemara going to explore Rabbi Shimon, how Rabbi Shimon gets to a Mitzri, this third generation?
According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not a problem, because Rabbi Shimon holds Kahal Gerim Loi Ikri Kol. This is only a question of Rabbi Yehuda on Rabbi Yehuda. Since Rabbi Yehuda holds Kahal Gerim Ikri Kol, he would be stuck here like Matzi Yadav Ragla Besmedish. Since Rabbi Shimon, however, disagrees, he holds Kal Gerim Loi Ikri Kol. So even though these girls are Mutter Love Bekol, but they're not Kohol, they're not Kahal Gerim, they're not Kahal Hashem. Since they're not Kahal Hashem, this halacha wouldn't apply to them in the first place. Zok Yomara, what's the Raya, Rabbi Yochanan? Dilma Di'i Avar V'Nosif. Maybe the Pasuk is talking about where the Mitzri Rishon or Sheni violated the rules. What did he do? He married either a Bas Yisrael, or he married a Giyoris, meaning a Mitzris Rishoyna or a Mitzris Shnia, and therefore that's what produced the third generation. You're not allowed to produce the third generation according to Yehuda. You're being Oiver and Isser. But in case the person was Oiver and Isser and now he has a child, that's what the Torah says, there are Shlishi Yavlem Mikal Hashem. So, Ibazoi, L'choy Rabbi Yochanan, you don't have a riot, no, even fakert. Says Rabbi Yochanan, the E loik kosev kra. Says Rabbi Yochanan, psukim don't talk about b'dievetz, psukim talk about l'chadchilis. If l'chadchili you're not allowed to, if a mitzri rishon is not allowed to go and marry either a Bas Yisrael or a mitzris, then we would never come to the case of a Mitzri Shlishi, and the Torah wouldn't say, oh, by the way, if there happens to be an unlawful, sinful Dor Shlishi, Yavolehem Bekal Hashem. The Torah would never tell us about something like that, D'i Ovar, that if the person was Oiver. The Torah doesn't go into B'di'evet, Averis, the Torah only goes into the mitzvahs, which you're supposed to do. Freiti Gemara, Hari Mamzer, that is a D'i, the Torah says, Yavolehem Mamzer Bekal Hashem. If everybody would listen to the Torah and people would not engage in Isurei Aroyos or Isurei Kares, then a Mamzer would never exist. The fact that the Torah says that there is a Mamzer in the world, that means that there is a D'i, that someone violated the law. So just like by the Mamzer, the Torah acknowledges that people might violate the law, here might be the same thing, that the Dor Shlishi are for the sinful people that violated and created a Dor Shlishi, but you're not allowed to. Perhaps that's Pshat. That our imams de'i v'kasvikra, and for the more de'i li sura kosav, de'i le'teira loy kosav, that's not a right for mamzer, because that case of mamzer is a de'i li sura, meaning the Torah says, if two people engage in sinful activity and they produce a mamzer, which of course is awesome, but if they did that, le'yav mamzer b'kal Hashem, let nobody else follow in their footsteps and have anything further to do with the product of this isra. Masha'enkin here trying to give a heter. You're saying that the Dor Shlishi, if people engaged in sinful behavior, and you had a Mitzri Rishon that married either a Bas Yisrael or a Mitzris Rishoyna or Shnia, and therefore you're saying, oh, now I have a Mitzri Shlishi, okay, Yavel Mikal Hashem, De'ilah Teira Le'kosev. Torah wouldn't go and tell us a De'ilah Teira, after people committed a sin, I have now a heter for you. Torah wouldn't engage in such type of language. Frey Timara, Hari Machsuk Rishosai, which is the E, and the hetera, the kasve. By the case of Machzor Rishosai, you also have a heter, and the Torah wrote it. Now, what is the case of the Machzor Rishosai? It says in the case of a young lady who got divorced, and then afterwards remarried, okay, that's the pasuk. The Gemara darshins only she is a te'eva and not her children, and therefore the children do not become zoinim or don't become chalolois. There's no taint vis-a-vis the children. There's only a taint vis-a-vis her that she's oiva the sister te'eva he, having nothing to do with the children. So now the Gemara is assuming that since we're giving adrasha ve'in b'ne'ah te'evin, so we're talking about a case of a de'i. What's the de'i? If and when she were to go and remarry her first husband after she married somebody else in between. And the Torah is telling us, well, by the way, Baruch Hashem, the children will be okay. No taint, no blemish on their nishamis, on these children. Ah, so you see we have a case of de'i. And the Torah is telling us a heter that these kids are okay, ben b'nei te'evin, nothing wrong with being mishadach with the kids of the machzor grush asai. So I have a case of heter, and the Torah, I have a case of de'i, which is lehetera, and kosav rachman ha'teira writes it. Says in Gemara Hasam Mishum Ikri Surah, who? The kasve. Notice that the pasuk itself doesn't say ve'ein b'nei te'evin. The pasuk says, he te'eva, what she did was wrong, that she allowed herself to be married a second time after she was already married to somebody else in between. He tell, oh, by the way, but Iker Pshat in the Pasuk is the Pasuk, what it says in the Pasuk. He te'eva. Al Pidrash, we happen to add as a supplement, if you will, as a footnote, but that's not the thrust of the Pasuk. The thrust of the Pasuk is the Isser. No, the Eli Surah, we already established by Mamzer that the Torah writes the Eli Surah, but you don't have a case of the E Leheter. Tanur Rabbanan. Now we analyze a little bit in greater depth this Pasuk about the Bonim Ashi, Vodul Hem Dor Shlishi, Yavulim Hem Kal Hashem. Frank Dimar, what do I need both the word Bonim and Doireth? L'choyra, I could have simply said, Dor Shlishi, Yavulim Hem Kal Hashem. What do I need the Bonim for? And if I do have bonim, the chayr would have been enough to go and say bonim shlishi. What do I have to have the bonim? Well, they have dar shlishi, the bonim shlishi. Why does it have to talk about both bonim and doyres? So tomorrow, turn about. In them a bonim, then in them a doyres. In them a doyres, then in them a bonim. In them a bonim, then in them a doyres. So you see, I'm a ben rishon usheni aser shlishi mutter. Obviously, Gemara says very simply, the Torah would only talk about bonim shlishi, or that would be ben shlishi. What would happen if I have a mitzri? And the Mitzri converted. And the Mitzri says, I want to go and join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. Sorry, Mister, you can't. Only the Shlishi. Oh, okay. So he has now with his wife, let's assume with the Mitzri Shoshana, so we don't have any issues. And he has, Baruch Hashem, one Yingala. And then he has a second Yingala. And then he has a third Yingala. So the first two Yingalach will say, well, sorry, those are Osir, lovely Bekal. But the third, he's the Bonim Shlishi. He'd be able to go and marry in Tekal. Oh, wonderful. He'd be able to go marry a Jewish girl. That's why it has to, the Torah has to go and tell us. We're not talking about the third child to the Mitzri. We're talking about the third generation of this Mitzri. So if we just go and say Bonim, you see, we're talking about the third generation. Bim Nema Doris would only say the third generation. That since, after all, this pasuk is given to the yidin that was sitting, standing on Har Sinai at the time of Shavuos, and therefore it says in the pasuk, "Bonim Yishivod Lehem Dor Shlishi Yavlim Kal Hashem." I would think, "Oh, Dor Shlishi means we got two more generations. This generation, Moshe Rabbeinu, we can't. Moshe Rabbeinu's children, we can't. But by the time we get to Moshe Rabbeinu's Einikloch, that's already third generation. Oh, we'll be able to go and marry the Mitzriim freely." Kach Nemar Bonim. That's why he has to say Bonim, having nothing to do with counting Moshe Rabbeinu's Dor as Dor Rishon or Sheni or Shlishi, but rather, even today, if you would have someone like Minyamin Hager, who's able to attest to the fact that he's a Mitzri Rishon, we would not allow him to go and marry a Jewish girl, but we allow him to go and marry a Mitzris Rishon or Shnia. That would depend on the Machlekes Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. So Reb Yochanan, Baruch Hashem, each one the Shitosai, the Chayra works. And then if they would have a third generation, if Minyamin Hager would have an Emikol, then he would be able to marry into the ranks of Klai Yisrael. Nothing to do with the Dor of Har Sinai. Kach Nevabad. Now, in the same pasuk, it also says the word lohem twice. Where does it say lohem twice? Bana mashivoldu lohem dor shlishi yove lohem bekal Hashem. So what do I have to have the two lohems? The first lohem is mehem mane. What means mane? Mane means when you're counting three generations, there are two ways of looking at it. You could look at the mitzri and say, in three generations from now, in other words, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, which of course is the fourth generation, they can come bekal Hashem. That's the dor shlishi. Or maybe go and count that first generation as being the first of the three, and therefore his grandchildren can already join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. Says Yimor, that's why it says Lahem Mehem Manei. The first generation is taken the Mitzri Rishon. Second is the Sheni. The Shlishi is already allowed to go and join Klal Yisrael. You don't have to wait for the Revi. And then it says Lahem Heilech Acher Psulim, that you go after the Apostle. Now, what means you go after the Apostle? So Rashi explains that if this Mitzri Rishon were to go and marry a Jewish girl, or Fakert, if it happens to be a Jewish boy who marries a Mitzri Rishoina, you go after the Psul, and then you say that the next child is the next generation of Mitzri. You don't go and say, because of the fact that they married a Jewish boy or a Jewish girl, oh, so the next generation is now free to marry into the ranks of Klal Yisrael, they lost their Shem Mitzri. No. That's what the extra lehem comes to tell you, that if you have such a mixed marriage, then the child that is born has a din of a Mitzri. If the first Mitzri involves is a Mitzri Rishon, this will be a Mitzri Sheni. However, we don't go and say that because it was a mixed marriage with a Yisrael or Yisraelis, that now they've become Tohoyer, and the children can go and marry anyone they want. It says in the Pasuk, Asher Yevodu Lehem. What's the nature of the Asher Yevodu Lehem? So the Gemara, if it would only say the Asher Yevodu, so I would say, let's look at the Leda, and that Leda is going to begin the first generation of the three generations, because that one that's born, that's generation number one, and then add second and third, and therefore, starting from the first Mitzri, we're going to be talking about the fourth generation. That's why, that mayhem, you start going and counting the three generations from the first Mitzri. Because Rachman Lehem, Havamina, and if it only say Lehem without the words Yevoldo, Havamina Mitzris Muberis, Shinizgaira Hi Ubana. What happens if you have a Mitzris that's already pregnant, and then she comes to Bez and says, I want to be Megayeris, me and my fetus, and they allow to be Megayer? I would think, Chad. I would think that that's still one generation. In other words, when that child will be born, since he or she was part of the original conversion process together with his or her mother, so that's the first generation. And you still got to wait two more generations. Pastor Rahman Ashi Yevoldu to go and tell you, no, you look at the later. So that when that child is born, he or she is already generation number two. Even though they were Nizgayer together with the mommy, it's generation number two, that's the Ashi Yevoldu, the later creates a new generation. The Israch Lemichtav Lehem Hacha, the Israch Lemichtav Loi Gabi Mamzer. The Lehem we just said about, Dershlish Yove Lehem Bekal Hashem. By Mamzer there's a word Loi. Loyove Mamzer Bekal Hashem, Gam Dor Asiri, Loyove Loi Bekal Hashem. Chayr should just simply say Gam Dor Asiri, Loyove Bekal Hashem. What do you need the Loi for over here? So Timura, so I need the Lehem here and I need the Loi by Mamzer. Because Rachmana Hacha, Mishum Deba Mitipa Psula. Over here, the Isser, the Gabe, the Mamzer, not the Gabe, the Mamzer, the Gabe, the Mitzri, thank you. Mitzri comes from a Tipa Psula, meaning both his father and his mother were both Goyim. Both of them were Mitzriim. So in that sense, the Mami became pregnant from a Tipa of Zera, which was possible. Ava Mamzer de Bomi Tipa Ksheira Eimolai. When you're talking about a Mamzer, both of the parents were Ksheirim. What they did was sinful. However, both the father and the mother were both from Zeri Yisrael. So therefore, a Malay. Because Rachmona Gabi Mamzer, Bishim Dein Roivelov, Bekal the Oilam. A Mamzer can never join Klal Yisrael ever, ever. Gamdura Sidla Yavala Bekal Hashem. The more Darshans later, based on a drasha, that it's not only Dura Siri, but forever and ever, a Mamzer is Osir. Abel Hocha, a Malay, here, Gabi Mitzriyim. I would think, no, there's a Heter in the third Dor Shlishi. they're allowed to rejoin Klal Yisrael. Therefore, tzricha, that's after both to have the loy. And lehem, to tell you that they're exactly the same in that respect, legabe the counting, and legabe the psul, that you go baser psula. Meaning, the Gemara said before, by the second lehem, that you go baser psulam, that therefore if you have a mixed marriage, we have a mitzri with a bas Yisrael, or if you have a mamzer with a bas Yisrael, so kedai techamina that maybe the child would become tohar, we'd go after the kosher one, that's why we go after the possible one, and that's why by the case of the mitzri it says lehem, and the gabi the mamzer it says loy, we go after psulam, after the psul. Why can't they just have one of the two? Would I have to have two for? Because if we're going only say the gabe, the case of the mitzri, I would say over there we go basa psulam because the father was a tipa psulam, meaning come from goyisha blood. Mash inkin the gabe mamzer was from kosher blood. No, be mitzvah of that to the fact that he married a bas Yisrael, maybe the child therefore will be kosher. That's why it says blood. And if it only say mamzer, the reason why you go basa psulam because is there such a chomer la'ayla, but maybe he had not. So you have to have both.
Are all cases, I'm trying to remember now, are all cases mamzeris mitipa kshera?
At least one of the two sides, for sure.
Okay.
You could have a case of an eved or and of those that hold an eved by the chavim, bo basi. So if a mamzer, then one of the type of sides would be a tipa psula, but still you have other side of tipa kshera. Now we're going to address the issue that you were addressing before. What happens if you have a mixed generation? Remember, this is Rabbi Bachan in the name of Yechanan, because later we're going to have Rav Dimi Amr of Yechanan, and he's going to disagree with this. We start off now with Rabbi Yechanan, Mitzri Sheni Shenosa Mitzris Rishoina. So I have a mixed generation. Mitzri Sheni, he's already second generation Mitzri, meaning that he was born to a Mitzri Rishon and a Mitzris Rishoina. He was born, he's the Mitzri Sheni. And instead of marrying somebody on his level, like in the case of Minyamin Hager, he went and he married a Mitzris Rishoina, which is an earlier level. So now the question is, what's the Ben? Does the Ben go after him, or does it go after her? Do we say that the child is a Shlishi, or the child is a Sheni? Says the Gemara, B'na Shlishi Hava. The Ben, in fact, is a third generation, and therefore he's Mutter Lovi Bekal. So now, since it was a father and a mother, and the father was a Sheni, and the mother was a Rishoina, obviously, Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, holds that the child doesn't go after the mother, but goes after the father. And since the father was a Sheni, the child is a Shlishi. It's what we call patrilineal consent. The descent, you go after the father, not after the mother.
Maybe he's just going after the most natal.
Well, you'll see in the Gemara, the Gemara doesn't hold that way.
Being that we're discussing generations, what about nationalities? What if Mitzri married a Greek?
Or Edom, from Edom is the other one I was thinking, because they're also in the same getter.
Right. So, the Gemara said before, we learned from the word lohem, lehelech acher psula. We look at both the father and the mother, and we look at who has the greater psula. So in your case, we have a Mitzri marrying a Greek. Since the Greek, there is no psul at all. We're talking about the Greek has been megayer, so therefore there's no psul. The only one that has a psul is the Mitzri. So the child that is born will have a din of a Mitzri and not have a din of a Greek. If he or she speaks Greek, then it will be a Greek Mitzri. But halachically, they'll have the status of a Mitzri.
And Mitzrim and Edom, since they're all in the same madrega, yeah. are they?
No difference, interchangeable.
So they're not in different pools, they're in the same pool, as it were.
Exactly. Marzal Rav Yosef, Reb Tarfin Oimer, Yecholim Mamzerim Litar. This is a very famous Gemara, that although normally we think a Mamzer is Osir forever, Nebuch will have to remain single forever, so Tarfin says there's an Eitzah. A Mamzer can be Matai himself, Keitzah. No. Mamzer Nosa Shivcha, Havlad Eved. A Mamzer can go and marry a Shivcha Kananis, and then the Vlad is going to be an Eved. After the child is born, shichra, you can be meshachra the eved, and nimtza ben chayrin. And now the child is going to be a ben chayrin. Ben chayrin means he'll be a normal, regular Jew, will be a ger. Oh, so therefore we have an eitzah, the mamzer can go and marry a shivcha. What do I see from that? We don't go and say that it's like the father, it's like the mother. Because if you say it goes like the father, what difference does he make that he married a shivcha? It's like, as you said, He could have married a Greek. He could have married a Frenchman. He could have married a Ukrainian. He could have married anybody. You go bust the psul. So why don't you go and say that this child is a mamzer? Muzach zayin, because you're saying that the mother was a shivcha. Oh, so you see, you go bust di da, and you don't go bust di day. Says Yomara, that's an exception to the general rule. Shani hosan yom akra. Anything having to do with evident shivcha, the Torah says, you ignore all other hilchos yichus, because of the fact that this woman happens to be a shivcha, she and her generations and her children, all that belong to the Adoin, they're not considered to be yichus vis-a-vis the father at all. So under normal circumstance, you go basa tidei. But the exception to the rule is the case of the Eved and the Shifcha. Whether this heter still applies nowadays or not, I remember when I was a bocher in yeshiva in Tervidas, this goes back a fair number of years, I remember that our Rebbe told us that he had a chaver in yeshiva, or maybe there was a bocher in yeshiva, that lo yaleinu, unfortunately, was a mamzer. Why was he a mamzer? Because the parents, the mother, had been previously married through some sort of marriage, and they did not get a proper get. It was a reform get, whatever that means. And then after she remarried, the parents were very frum and erlich and all the rest, but because of the fact that she didn't have a proper get, the children from the second marriage, unfortunately, were mamzer. So what do you do with a mamzer like that? It's nebuch harachmonis. So I remember Rebbe told us that the eitzah that they had for him was they sent him to Saudi Arabia or a similar country where at that time, and perhaps even today, they still had a slave market where you can go and buy an Eved or a Shivcha, and that's what he did. He bought a Shivcha, he married her, they had a child. After that, they were Megayer this Eved, and the Eved became now a free Ben Choyer, and again, just like our Gemara, you wouldn't be able to do it in other countries because the concept of Avdus L'Choyer doesn't apply since you can't go and buy an Eved or Shivcha here in this country. Anyway,
a Jewish Saudi Arabian.
No, we're talking about a goy here. A goya. Shivcha.
Mamzer Shomer Shabbos boy.
That's what our Gemara says. Going back, Reb Tarfon, I'm Yichoyl Mamzer Mitar. Okay, it said Mamzer Nosa Shivcha. If a Mamzer marries a Shivcha, Havlad Eved, the Vlad will be an Eved, and Shichur Yichim Mishacha, and Nimtze Ben Chayim. The only problem today is there a Shivcha Kananis? Here in America, you can't go and buy a Shivcha. Says so they gave him an eitzah. He can go to an Arab country where they still were, at least at that time. I don't know if today, but at least at that time there was still a slave market you could buy. Perhaps in Africa there's still slaves that you can go and buy. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not sure that person would want to go and marry an African, but regardless, this is a contemporary situation, whether or not this would work or not. Masiv Rava, so Rava Freik Vaita Kasha. Now we're asking a Kasha on the original Rabbi Yochanan that says that you go Basar Dideh. And now we go back to that case that we spoke about before with Minyamin. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Minyamin ger mitzvi hayali chaver mitamid Rabbi Kiva. I had a chaver there in Yeshiva by Rabbi Kiva, who was a ger mitzvi. The Omer, and he said about himself, ani mitzvi rishayim, menasasi mitzvi rishayim. Osi lebni mitzvi shniya, since my son will be a mitzvi sheni, I'm going to have matzah minas minay, a mitzvi sheni marrying a mitzvi shniya, kidei shehei ben bini roi lo v'kol, so I'm going to have an einikul that can go and marry freely into Klal Yisrael. Yeah, sounds perfect. Says Yomar Yisol Kedaitech Basrei Dudei Shadinan Lei. If you hold that, like Rabbi Yochanan said before, that when you have a Mitzri Sheni that marries a Mitzris Rishoina Benosh Lishi, why did Minyamin insist that his son will marry a Mitzris Shnia after the Rishoina Nami? Even if his son, who was a Mitzri Sheni, married a mitzvah rishayna, the child would also be a shlishi, because that's what Rabbi Yochanan said before. B'no shlishi ava, because he holds basa didei shirin alei. By the fact that Minyamin didn't entertain that possibility, it sounds like Minyamin disagrees with that psak of Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, you know what? Ha'omle Rabbi Yochanan the Tana. When Rabbi Yochanan heard that price initially, that we just quoted that Rabbi Yehuda said about his friend Minyamin Ger Mitzri, he said to the Tana, Tani Rishoina, you can go and change the Girsa, the Lavdavka, that Minyamin said that my son who's going to be a Sheni is going to go marry a Mitzrishniya. Even a Mitzrish Rishoina is also fine, because Rabbi Yechon Vishitase that holds it, Basta Didei, Shadinale. So that's the first Rabbi Yochanan quoted by Rabbi Bochana. Now we're going to have a different Rabbi Yochanan. Ki Osam Dimiyam Rabbi Yochanan. Mitzri Sheni, Shenosa Mitzris Rishoina, Benos Sheni Hava. The child is going to be a Sheni, and therefore we're not going to go Basar Di Day, we're going to go Basar Di Da. Alma Basar Ime Shudinan Lay. So therefore, obviously, there's a machlokes between Rabbi Bachana and Rabbi Dimi. What did Rabbi Yochanan really say? Now, we're going to assume now, for purposes of the next few lines, that this is a psak of Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Dimi said. And now we're going to ask a kasha on that. Amalei Abaye, Elohadiyam Rabbi Yochanan. A stira, Rabbi Yochanan. Now, before we go right into the stira, we have to introduce one more concept, which is going to be very important for the next Gemara, and that is that there's a machlokes, not here, but in Machlokes and Masechtas Chulin, whether Uber Yerech Imoy Hu or not. That when you have a pregnant mommy, do you say that the Uber, the fetus inside, is considered to be just like another Aver, another Yerech, another thigh of the mother? What will be the Nafkimina? We'll see that in the forthcoming Gemara, as we'll see in another moment. Now, what would you say, Lechoyra, from this Psak of Rabbi Yechanan, since he says, Mitzri Sheini, Maasa Mitzris Rishoina, we go after her, and not after him? The Gemara assumes, therefore, because Uber Yerech Imoy, he's a shtick mommy, he's not a shtick daddy, and therefore if the mommy was a Rishayna, that's why the child is a Shaini, because of Uber Yerech Imoy. And if that's the case, I'm going to ask you a steer of Rabbi Yochanan, because he says, Hifrish Chatas Me'uberes V'yolda. What happens if a person wants to bring a Karban Chatas? He needs to bring a Karban Chatas because he was over an Isser that requires him to bring a Karban Chatas. And the particular Chatas that he was Mafrish, which was a Kizbo or Seira, was Muberes. It was pregnant. And subsequently the older. So when he was Mafrish and Makdish this animal to go and be brought for a Karban Chatas, it was already Muberes at that time. The older, and it gave birth. Now I have a choice. Ini, mini, mini, mo. Ratzim iskaber bo. Ratzim iskaber bevlada. He can do either one, because when he was mafreshit, both of them got a kedusha at that time. And therefore, it's either one. And as the Gemara is going to say shortly, it's kemafresh shtei chato'ois le'achrayis. It's as if a person who was concerned that the animal that he was mafresh is going to die, so therefore he took a backup just to be on the safe side. So now we can go and do either one, Bo or Bivlada.
We don't consider a Vlad.
Bachatos from the Misa.
Yeah, the Misa.
Brother Shai, thank you for raising that issue, and thank you, Brother Barry. As we'll see in another line or two, the Gemara is going to address that. So, Iyamas Bishloim Uber Lav Yerechimayhu. If you go and look upon an animal which is pregnant, it's as if it's two animals. It's true that they are connected, they're connected temporarily until the period of gestation ends, but during that period of time they're connected, but it's not mamish yerech imayhu. Havali kin mafrish techatois lachrayis. And it's a similar case to what we spoke about before, that the person was concerned that one of his chatois would get lost, so he set aside two to be on the safe side. And v'yomer avoyshia, hifrish techatois lachrayis. When you do something like that, miskapa bi'achas mehen, you can now go and use either one, bashnia tira. And the second one goes l'raya. Second one goes Leraya. Eliyamis Ubi Yerech Imayhu. If you're going to go tell me the Ubi is part and parcel of the mother, Havale Vlad Chatos. Is that what you were asking about, Brother Shai?
Yes, precisely.
Exactly. So that's why I told you the mother is going to address it. Havale Vlad Chatos. Since, Gesundheit, if you're going to go and tell me that Ubi is Yerech Imayhu, it's part and parcel of the mommy, Havale Vlad Chatos, when the Vlad is born, it's not a second entity. If the old Uba Lav Yerech Imoy, it's as if he went and was Makdish two separate animals, which coincidentally the second animal happens to have been within the womb of the first animal, but it's two separate animals. So therefore when it's born, I have a choice, Lachray is this one or that one. But if you tell me Uba Yerech Imoy, so therefore it's part and parcel of the mami, so when this animal is born, it's going to be a Vlad Chatas. And Vlad Chatas Lamisa, one of the Chomish Chatois Mesois. So what do I see? Vlad Chatas Lamisa Ozel. So what do I see from this Gemara? I see that Rabbi Yochanan L'choyra holds Uber Lav Yerech Imayu. And that's the reason why I can go and choose between the mami or the baby. Uber Lav Yerech Imayu. Oh, he holds Lav Yerech Imayu. So it's not considered to be an essential, integral, inherent part of the mami. But you just finished saying that Rabbi Yochanan holds when you have this mixed marriage of Mitzri Sheini with the Mitzri Shoina, you go Basar Ime, you go Basar Dida. and therefore the Gemara is assuming that that means that he holds it over is Yerach Imai. And therefore when the child is born, ignore the father, only look at the mother. If the mother was a Shady, then this baby is a Shlishi, and therefore it's already Mutal Lavoi Bekal. But you see that Legabe, the case of the Karban Chatzos, did Rabbi Yochanan holds over Lav Yerach Imai. Don't I have a stira? The Gemara says, Ishtik. Abaye's kasha to Avdimi was such a good kasha that he had no answer. Amaleis, and now Abaye on his own says to Avdimi, you know what? I may have an answer. Dilmishani hasam dechsiv ashi yivoldu hakosiv tolei beleida. In other words, we hold, when it comes to the question of uber yerach imai, lav yerach imai, Rabbi Yochanan really holds uber lav yerach imai. And therefore you can go and use either the mommy or the child for the karmi chattas. Why over here does he say you go baser dita? Because the Torah says, banamashi yivoldu lehem dor shlishi. Now who are the yivoldu lehems? A tata doesn't give birth, a mommy gives birth. Oh, so it's all told in the lady and the mommy. So if the mommy was a shiny, the banamashi yivoldu lehem, those babies are born to the mommies. They will now become a shlishi, even though the father was a rishon. We're going to go baser dita. So therefore, this would again be, if you will, an exception to the rule. Rashi says, it's a gzeiros hakosev in this case, that even though I normally would hold uber lav yerech imai, but here the Torah says, you've older, you go baser imai.
So that can work both for a kula and a chumra, if the mother is if the father is a mitzvah rishon.
The Gemara doesn't address that. So now the Gemara says that, if you look at Rashi, belay dehelech achareim, you go after the mother. So now, this teretz of Abaye, the Gemara assumes, is such a brilliant teretz, says Rav Dimi to Abaye. He gives him what we would call a backhanded compliment. He first calls him a karkafna. Rashi said, karkafna, odem choshev. Oh, psh, I see you're a choshev, a talmud chocham. You knew, you gave such a beautiful answer. However, he says, chazite l'reishech beini amudi ki om Rabbi Yochanan l'hashmaita. I saw, or I suspect, that your head was between the amud and between the pillars when Rabbi Yochanan was saying this Dvar Halacha. Meaning, not that you were mechadish this on your own to give this answer, but when Rabbi Yochanan gave the shir, you were there and you heard him giving the shir, and you yourself were considering this stira, and maybe Rabbi Yochanan on his own asked the kasha, and he said, Rabbi Yisai, don't worry about the ubi yerach imoy lav yerach imoy issue, because here we're talking about abadamashi yivoldu lehem, you go basalaydi, you always go after the mami, you don't go after the tati, because of this pasuk. Now before we continue on, in terms of historically,
yeah,
it sounds therefore that Abaye and Rabbi Yochanan overlapped, which is a little bit difficult. I don't know the exact years of when Rabbi Yochanan passed away and when Abaye was born, but Rabbi Yochanan was among the earlier generations of the Amiroim, and Abaye and Rava were among the later of the generations.
Geographically also, they were not in the same areas.
So not only in terms of timing, but also in terms of geography. So both of those would suggest that, in fact, Abaye was never there in the Bais Medrash when Rabbi Yochanan was giving the shir. So this is not only a history question that the historians will have to deal with, but in fact, it is Toises that deals with this. If you notice the middle Toises, Chazite l'reishech beini amudi pirish rabach. When it says reishech, it doesn't mean your head. It means like your Rosh Hashiva. I see that your Rosh Hashiva was beini amudi. Who was that? That was Rabbah. Everybody knows Rabbah was the Rebbe of Abaye. Not only the Rebbe, he was also his stepfather. Pirish rabach, or adoptive father. Tamatzinu Rabbah shaholach l'umay defnei Rabbi Yochanan bisholik. So, we take a find that Rabbah went to Rabbi Yochanan to Eretz Yisrael at the end of Masechtas Ksuvos, which we're going to learn that surely. We don't find that Abaye went to learn in front of Rabbi Yochanan, perhaps because Rabbi Yochanan was no longer alive, or even if he was alive, we don't find that Abaye left to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the Reishech is not referring to Abaye, it's really referring to his Rebbe, it's referring to Rabbah. So he learned choices. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, normally we talk and go baser avia after the father, not after the mother, and therefore normally by the mitzvah rishon sheni etc. you go after the father. But here's the difference. It says she yivoldu. Aha! If that's the case, elohod yomer rava nachris muuberish in his gaira, but no ain tzarach tvila. What happens if you have a nochris muberes? That's being megayer. She's a goiter, she's already pregnant, and now she wants to be megayer with the fetus inside. Okay. But no, ain't tzarech tefillah. She toivels in the mikveh, she now gets her certificate of geiris, she's now a geiris. Eventually the boy is born a month later, 3 months later, whenever he's born, he doesn't need tefillah. Feitimor, am I in tzarech tefillah? Why don't you have to have tefillah? After all, you're telling me that uber lav yerech imayhu, it's only the kid.
It's a chesitza.
Just wait another moment. Yeah. If you hold that uber is yerech imayhu, then it's one shtick together with the mother. Just like when the mother toivels, you don't say, hey, what about the lungs and the heart inside? They weren't getoiveled. It was all one entity. She toiveled. You can't get to the heart and you don't need to. It's all one person. That's, of course, natural. So if you hold that uber yerech imayhu, and then when the mother is toiveling, then the baby happens to be one piece together with the mother. Just like the stomach and the womb and the heart and the lungs, they didn't see the water, but they don't need to see the water. It's part of the person, so too the fetus doesn't need to see the water. That's if you hold uber yerech. But you just kept on saying now that according to Rabbi Yochanan, he holds uber lav yerech imayhu. It's only in a case of the mitzri, but there's a special din of ashivaldu. So freitim alahod amarav and nachrus muberes shin is gaira, but no ain tzarech tefila. Am I ain tzarech tefila? Why wouldn't you need a tefila? After all, it's a separate entity. That's why by the chatos you can go and choose either the bina or you can choose the aim, because it's totally separate. So when the baby is born, you should have to have a separate tefila for the baby. V'chitayim, maybe you're going to go and say mishum de Rabbi Yitzchak. That what? Ein achanami, I agree with you 1,000%. That the baby needs a tefillah, and needs a separate tefillah. However, because the baby was getoivled in the mommy's womb, that is not considered to be a chatzitza, like Barry was suggesting a moment ago. Why not? The Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Dvar Torah Rubei Umakbed Olav Choytzit Rubei Shein Makbed Olav Ein Choytzit. Since there's no kpeda, the mommy is not makbid, and the baby is certainly not makbid about being within the mother's womb at the time of the tefillah. So there's no chatzitza. So maybe he'll say, "Ein achrami ober lav yerech imayhu." However, nobody cares that there is a chatzitza between mommy and baby because they're not makbid. Says the Gemara, but that's only by rubai. Vom rav kanali shana le rubai aval kula is choytzit. The whole baby. Zavadet should be a chatzitza. After Moshani Uber, the Hainu Rabbi say, when do you say something which is chatzitza? When something is not supposed to be there. But if that's the way the baby grows, every baby grows within the mommy's stomach, so that's normal. So that's not considered to be a chatzitza. Chatzitza is only when something was there which is not supposed to be there. But something is there, it's supposed to be there, that's not a problem of chatzitza. Okay, from here until the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to tell us again halachas of Rabbi Yochanan. Very straightforward. Ki asa ravina om Rabbi Yochanan. This is the case that Daniel was positing before. If you have a Mitzri who married a Greek, for instance, so it says Rabbi Yochanan, umois helech achar hazocher. When it comes to mixed marriages of different umois, different nations, you go after the zocher, whoever the zocher was. This gairu, if however they megairu, helech achar pogum shebishneim, they go after the one that is more pogum of the two. And now the Gemara explains. But umayis helech achar zocher kidesanya. Minan liyachmina umayis shebo al haknanis v'hoilid ben. Shata rishoilik noise bi'evet. We spoke about this yesterday and the day before, that there's a posik that when the Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, they were not allowed to go and purchase any of the Knanim or the any of the other Shiva umayis as slaves, because you can't allow any of these people to live. And so therefore, if one of them says, I want to be your Eved, your slave, you're not allowed to take him for an Eved. So what happens if you have a mixed marriage? And you have, for instance, a Frenchman or a Greek, married a Knanis. What is the status of the child? And they have a child now. How do you know she had to reshoilik noise of Eved? You're allowed to go and buy him for an Eved. Even though he said, Rabbi Yochanan said in the Amud Aleph, you go busa the mami for purposes of mitzri, but here was a shivoldu. Here we're not talking a shivoldu. Here we're talking about, in other words, there's a special din by the mitzriim. Here we're talking about a umma, a Greek, who married a Canaanis. What's the din? You're allowed to keep him for an Eved. She never begam b'bnei atishim, agor mimochem, imochem, mehem tiknu Eved v'yama. So those toishavim that live among you, those toishavim means not those that are natural seven umays, the seven umays in Eretz Yisrael, the seven, what was his expression, the Canaanite nations. We're talking about someone who came and they showed me Etzach Bezetz. He settled in Eretz Yisrael, but from somewhere else, a Frenchman, a Greek, etc. So therefore, you're allowed to take their child as an ebd. When the other way around, the father is a Kanani and the mother is Greek or French or something like that, I would think maybe the same halacha applies. No. If it's a Kanani, that's the father, then that's what we said. And therefore this child is considered to be a Kanani. And as a Kanani, there's a din of leisachayik on the Shama. You can't take him for an ebd. Now, nizgayru heilach achar pogum shebishneim. B'mai, what are we referring to over here? Ilein b'mitzvi shenosa amoynis. Are we talking about a mitzvi that married an amoynis? And my pogum shebishneim, what are we referring to pogum shebishneim? My pogum shebishneim isba, then the chayy, there is no pogum shebishneim.
Right.
In other words, the expression pogum shebishneim has the sound that both of them have a pogum. One has a greater pegam, one has a lesser pegam, and you go after the worse of the two. So if you have a mitzri that married an amoinus, and you're wondering, the child to this mitzri and amoinus, would he or she be mutter loved bekol or not? So you see, you go after the shneiim, the pogim shemishneiim. What would be the pogim shemishneiim? That would be the mitzri. So if you mara, 1 second, my pogim shemishneiim is what? There is no pogim shemishneiim, it's amoinus. Therefore, there's only one that is pogim altogether, and that's the mitzri. The amoinus is like a regular yidna. So there's only one pogim. Elefaket, b'amoini shenos a mitzris. Oh, you have a moini that married a mitzris. So what's going to be with the child? It depends on the gender of the child. Izochar, if it happens to be a zochar, izochar hava, shad yebosar amoini. Since we're going the pogim shemishneiim, of the two, the amoini or the mitzris, the amoini is much, much worse than the mitzris. Because the amoini is going to be osir forever and ever, ad oilam. While the mitzris is only osir for the first two generations. So therefore, if there's a zocher that's born to them, shad yibasar amoini, and say that this zocher is an amoini, and therefore he, and all of his progeny, and all of his legacy, all of his issue, will all be osir forever. In the keva, however, if the child that is born in the keva, shad yibasar mitzris. If I were to say that that Nekeva has a status of an Amoinis, just like the Zohar is an Amoini, the Nekeva would be an Amoinis, then she'd be Mimutalova Bekal. And we're saying we're going Pogish Shemishneim, therefore Shadjibasa Mitzris, and therefore I would go and say that this young lady is a second generation, it would be a Mitzris Shnia, she'd have to go and marry now a Mitzri Sheni or Rishayim, depending on the two Rabbi Yochanan that we had on the Yom Aleph, and then the child would be a Mitzri Shlishi, and the Mitzri Shlishi would be able to join the ranks of Klai Yisrael. So therefore you always go after the pogum, the worst of the two. By the Amoini Mitzris, if it's a Zohar, the worst of the two is to be an Amoini. It's in the Keva, the worst of the two is to be the Mitzris. Okay, Zuki Mar. State the Mishnah, Anayim Mishnah Mamzeirin Unesinim Asurin Visurin Isur Oilam. A mamzer is not allowed to go and marry into the ranks of Klal Yisrael, and this iser blives forever and ever. The same thing applies to a nosir. The initial discussion will be about mamzer, and we're going to get to the sinim in another few lines. Echad zechar mechad. The cave of the Torah doesn't distinguish between one and the two, so they're exactly the same. Not like by amoini, here by mamzer, no difference between zechar and the cave. Okay, also forever. Amar Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish takes issue with the halacha of our Mishnah. And he says, Mamzeris li achar asore doires muteres. Ooh. A Mamzeris, after 10 generations, she is muter lovai bekahol. Why? Yalef asiri asiri me amoini umayovi. Mal halon ne kevus muteres av kan ne kevus muteres. We have 2 psukim back to back in Sefer Dvarim. And what does it say in the 2 psukim? 1 pasuk says, "Lo yovei amoini umayovi bekal Hashem, gam doir asiri lo yovei lehem bekal Hashem ad oilam." So it starts off gam doir asiri, even the 10th generation, lo yovei lehem bekal Hashem, they cannot join Klal Yisrael ad oilam forever and ever. Then the next pasuk says, "Lo yovei mamzer bekal Hashem, gam doir asiri lo yovei loy bekal Hashem." Here it doesn't say ad oilam. Gam derasin liyav lebekalasha. So now the Gemara darshens by the fact that the two psukim both use the expression gam der asiri. I have gzeira shava asiri to asiri. What's gzeira shava? Just like by Amoini Umayovi, I said it's only the menfolk and not the ladies. Amoini v'le Amoini is Mayavalu Mayavis. By Mamzer, the same thing. Mamzer v'loi Mamzeres. But not first generation. After 10 generations. After 10 generations, the Mamzeres is allowed to join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. Zok the Gemara, I don't understand. If you're making a Gzeira Shava, Asiri, Asiri, to learn from Amoinu Miyavi, the Nekevus Amutter, Imal Halon Miyad Afkan Miyad shouldn't become Mutter immediately, the first generation. Evidemor Kiyahan Gzeira Shava Miyasir Ve'elach. The Gzeira Shava only helps from the 10th generation and further. What does he mean by that? So Rashi explains that the major limud that I learned from Asiri, from Amoinu Miyavi, is not to tell us about Nekevus. The major limud that I have is to go and tell you that the Isser by Mamzer is Ad Oilam, because by Mamzer doesn't say Ad Oilam. It only says it by Amoini and Miyavi. But since here it says Gam Deir Asiri, and here it says Gam Deir Asiri, so just like by Amoini and Miyavi, it says Ad Oilam, here too by Mamzer it's Ad Oilam, it's forever and ever. Now explains Rashi. For the first 10 generations, I don't need the Gzeira Shava, because both of them it says Befesh and Deir Asiri. So that's clear. So the Gzeira Shava is only opening up the door for new halacha post the 10th generation, and it's telling us not only by Amoini does post 10th generation go on Ad Oilam, but even Lagami Mamzer post 10 generations it goes Ad Oilam. Ah, so since I'm opening the door with this Asiri Asiri only after the 10th generation, and since I'm darshing the Gzeira Shava, so I'm throwing in the second halacha Lagami Nekevois, the din of Nekevos being mutter will only be after the 10th generation. So when I opened up the door with this Gzeira Shava, Asiri, Asiri, I opened it up only for post-10th generation. Oh, so just like the Ad Oilam is post-generation, the din of Nekevos is also post-10th generation.
It's ironic, because Asiri doesn't really do anything for the Amoni and Moavi. It's ironic that we're using it now as a side door, a loophole for Mamzer in this case.
What you're really doing is you're emphasizing the fact that this is Mufna, because I don't need the Dor Asiri. Could have just simply said the Asra Ad Oilam. It's Mufna, so that's how I'm able to learn Gzeira Shava. And that Gzeira Shava Taka tells us not only the Ad Oilam, but also the Mekevus. Break him up on Antana, look back in our Mishnah. Mamzeiner sin asur the Isser Oilam, Echad Chor Ve'echad Akevus. And Rish Lakish is only an Amoira. He can't go and argue with the Mishnah, and our Mishnah says it's forever and ever, even the Kevus. But to my Kasha. Hakaman Yom Doim Mino Mino. Hakaman Yom Doim Mino Ve'uki Be'asra. This is a running machlekus that you have numerous times throughout Shas. When you darshan a Gzeir Shavu, for that matter, other limudim, do you learn everything? It's a package deal? Or can you just learn one minor detail and then learn all the other halachas from that parsha itself? Meaning, Rish Lakish holds Mino Umina. If I'm learning already Asiri, Asiri, to go and tell you that it's Asur Ad Oilam, then it's a package deal. I can't just go and stop there. I have to go and see the whole parsha. And since I see the Gabi, the din of Amoini Miyavi, that it's Chor V'Lo Nekevos, so I learned from that Lo Nekevos by Mamzer as well. But I can't learn it for the first 10 generations because I didn't need the Gzeira Shava for that. Gzeira Shava only kicks in after the 10th generation. So the din of Nekevos will also only kick in after the 10th generation. But that's only because you know, it's a basket of all halachas together. According to our Mishnah, no. I learn one halacha. The Isser Oilam. Finished. I don't need to learn that halacha is enough for me. Doin mina. V'ukim ba'asra. Now I'm going to apply it ba'asra in the parish of Mamzer. And by Mamzer, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah Mamzer v'loy Mamzer. It doesn't say Allah shalai kibbu eska b'lecha b'mamayim. So therefore, I'm going to take this isolated halacha of Isser Oilam, and that's the only thing. And all the other halachas I'm going to leave by Mamzer the way it says in the Torah. I don't need to import everything.
So what's the Asiri for, according to this Mandamar?
The Asiri is to come to the Isser Oilam.
But you don't need it. You don't need it for it.
You do need it for Isser Oilam, because otherwise by Mamzer
just says... No, I see. That's the segue for Mamzer, I see. Okay.
That,
it's ironic because Asiri is saying it's not Oilam. Asiri says only 10 generations, and here we're saying...
Which Asiri?
The Asiri, yeah, Asiri by Mamzer says Dor Asiri.
Only says, it doesn't say, exclude more, it just says Gam Dor Asiri, even the 10th generation,
okay.
It doesn't say what the halach is beyond that. So I'm learning from the Ad Olam, from the Asiri, from Mamiyavi, that the halach goes... So everybody agrees to that first drush of the Ad Olam. The question is, do I add the second drush or not? So it's not that Rish Lakish is arguing with the Mishnah. Rish Lakish is holding like all of those Tanoim that hold elsewhere. Doi mino mino. And our Mishnah goes according to Maniyah, that holds Doi mino mi oki biasra. Zokimar, Sholus Rebbe Lezer, what's the loch of Mamzeres the Acher Asara Dori Mau? What's the din of Mamzeres after 10 generations? Rebbe Lezer should have answered. It's a machlaikis right between our Mishnah and Rish Lakish, like we just said. Omel Enso, Rebbe Lezer said, it's a good question talmudically and theoretically, but halacha lamais, it's not a shayla. Because miyitin li dor shlishi matarenu. Can you even bring me a third generation so should I be metayer? What did he mean with that rhetorical statement? He holds that min hashemayim, a mamzer cannot live, and therefore you're never even going to get to the third generation, let alone to the 10th generation. So it was like treifa lechayet, mamzer lechayet, a mamzer can't live. So you'll never have to worry about the 10th, you'll never worry about the 3rd. It's not going to continue on.
Right.
So they procreate. So why would the Mishnah go and tell us that if you're never going to get beyond the first of two generations? It's not limalav leimayit. So says Yuma, I'll explain to you. I heard Rav Yehuda giving the following explanation. It really depends on the specific circumstances. What did he say? The idea, if everybody knows that this person is a mamzer, chay, then he can go and live even till 120. So lo yidia, lo yichay. If people don't know that he's a mamzer, then he won't live. He'll pass away very soon, very young. The idea, lo yidia, if people don't really know, some do know, some don't know, at los adori chay, it's very lo yichay. What is this all about? It says Rashi, very, very simple. A Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want to be machshel Jews that they should, chas v'sholem, marry into a family of mamzer. So if the mamzer is yediyah, everybody knows he's a mamzer, then everybody will stay away. You don't have to worry about someone by accident marrying them. The whole world knows he's a mamzer. His middle name is mamzer. He probably acts like a mamzer too. And so therefore, chai, he can only live till 120, he won't be machshel anyway. But lo yediyah, if nobody knows that he's a machshel, lo chai, I don't want chas v'sholem somebody to go and marry him, and so therefore he won't live. The yediyah of lo yediyah, some people do, some people don't. So that's the type of person that people will ask references about. Until 3 generations they can live because people will find out. Beyond 3 generations, everybody will have forgotten already. It's a long time ago. Kodesh Baruch Hu won't allow them to continue living, not to be machshel future generations. And that's the reason why Reb Lezer said, I can't even get to a third generation because lechai. Ahuda mishavusei dirab ami. There was a mamzer who lived in the Shechinus, in the neighborhood of Rav Ami. People did not know that he was a mamzer. Apparently, Rav Ami gave the rule, he gave the befeil, he gave the command, go and announce in Besmedish one day after davening, Yankel Smith is a mamzer. You can well imagine he was not happy. He goes in front of Rav Ami, he says, what did you do to me? Everybody calls me a mamzer now. On Malay, he says, look at the positive sign. Chaim nesatilach. From now on, Yitzchak will have a riches young. People didn't know until now. Right now, people know that you're a mamzer. At least you'll be able to live a long life, and then hopefully you'll be able to go and buy a shivcha somewhere and have a marriage. Okay, so now we're done with mamzer, and now we go on to nesinim. Now we've had nesinim already a few times. Yes, sir. Yes, Jeff.
Can I ask a quick question?
You can ask even a slow question.
That means that if you don't. If you don't disclose that you're a mamzer, then you're chayav faris. That's what this is sounding like.
Misa.
Not that you're chayav misa. We're just saying that the Kodesh Baruch Hu will not allow for other Jews to mistakenly, accidentally sin by marrying a mamzer. Therefore,
So he uses karis. It's not misa. He gets karis. His life is cut off. Sure.
But both karis and misa b'dei shemayim are both of the life gets cut off short. It's not, it's karis or misa because of an onesh. After all, most mamzerim are innocent bystanders, if you will. They had nothing to do with
it. They're products of a crime, they're not perpetrators.
Exactly. I don't know if you heard that, Barry said that they're the product of a crime, not perpetrators.
I did.
But that's very important for your line of work.
Disclose it.
They don't, they, right.
But the Lav is not disclosing it. It's keeping it secret. Because
if you go and keep it secret, then you got to have a problem that people are going to marry that young man or young lady, and they're going to be nichshel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure it won't happen by taking him or her away prematurely. But not because of an onesh, just not to be machshel others. However, if this becomes public news, then the person can live until 120. Anyway, getting back.
What life is it though? I mean, it's.
He'll have to go and marry a shivcha.
It's interesting, Rabbi Huda was the one who had the interaction with the mamzer in the butcher shop in Chulin. And called Rabbi Huda a mamzer. Rabbi Huda, I don't know who's this Bar Shesko.
Yeah.
He insulted him. It turns out the guy was a mamzer.
It was really Bar Yechesko. He called Bar Shesko.
He disparaged him.
Okay. Amr Chana Barabe. Yes, sir.
Rav David.
Yes, sir.
So did your Rav Tarvadas tell everyone who the mamzer was?
That's
for this reason, to save him.
The story that I told you I heard from my Rebbe when I was in Turbidas. I don't want to disclose my full age, but it was approximately 50 years ago. He was talking about when he was a child, and that was probably 20 or 30 years before then. So going back to 70 or 80 years ago, who that individual was and whether he was publicized or not, I don't know. And unfortunately, that Rebbe no longer is alive. He passed away in COVID. He was a wonderful, beloved Rebbe. And so therefore, I don't know if there's anybody today that you can ask about any further evidence, whether he did live, he didn't live, and what happened, etc. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. We're now talking about Nesinim. Nesinim were a tribe that lived in Eretz Yisrael called Givoinim. Presumably they came from a place called Givoin. And these people would normally be among those of the Chayek called the Shama. They duped Klal Yisrael in different times, both in the times of Yeshua and then later on in the times of David and Melech. We'll see more about this in the Gemara, by claiming that they came from some far off land, and therefore they said, we want to make a peace treaty. They agreed to make a peace treaty, but when they probably so realized that they were duped, they said that although we're not going to renege on the treaty, we're going to give them all very menial positions, and they were all choytvei eitzim v'she'avi moyim, which means wood choppers and water drawers. So Omer of Chana Barat, the Sinim David Gozerlein, David HaMelech was Gozer on the Sinim, Shinem of Yikra HaMelech li Givoinim, v'yerma lehem, v'givoinim levin Yisrael heima, you're not Nimnei Yisrael, because you're not bona fide, real treaty gerim, because you went and duped us. And therefore, it's goyzer. My time, goyzer alai. What's the reason why? Tachsif. So now the Gemara tells us a little bit, Tanakh, what happened at that time. V'yiravim made David. The times of David and Melech, there was a famine. Shol Shonim, 3 years. Shana achar shana. Year after year after year. Shana rishayna omalehem. David and Melech asked the populace, and he said, maybe the reason why we have a ro'av, we have a famine, is because some of you are oivdei avodah zarah, and the chassidus in the pasuk of v'adatem lehem achirim mishtach v'yisal lehem v'yotzer v'shemayim lehem matar, a pasuk of course that we have in Kriya Shema, that you're going to go and serve other gods, and then the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be oivdei shemayim lehem matar. There won't be any rain. If there won't be any rain, there won't be any crops. If there won't be any crops, there'll be a famine. Badkum lehem matzu. They checked, they inspected. Nobody among Klal Yisrael will oiv the avodah zarah. Shnei, now it's the second year. Maybe there are people that are doing avodas. When you see this expression, oiv avodah, usually refers to znus. Maybe there are arayos among you. That Kadosh Baruch Hu held back rain and drizzle. Why? Because meitzach isha zayna hayalach. Because you had the meitzach, you had like the forehead of an isha zayna. So maybe there's znus. No, nishtu. Shlish, now the third year, Omlehem, Shema poiske tzedakim b'ramim yeshbachem, ein noisnem. Maybe these are people who are rich people. When it comes to an appeal in shul, they scream out, I'm going to give a large amount. And then when it comes to writing the check, they refuse to write the check. So they're poiske tzedakim, they pledge, but ein noisnem, they don't give. There's a valid pasuk for that. V'siyem v'ruach v'geshem oyin, ish mishalel v'matas shoker. The Sim Ruach v'Geshem Oyim is referring to very often when you're going to have a heavy downpour, you get a sign or signal from heaven that it's going to start pouring shortly. Nisiyim means all of a sudden it's very, very cloudy, very dark outside. You see that the entire horizon is full of clouds. Veruach, and then they're starting to brew a nice strong wind which is blowing. And then you say to yourself, Shnel, we better get inside because any minute now it's going to start pouring. And guess what? Geshemoyim. It doesn't rain. And you're wondering why? All the signs were there. It's because Ishmael, the people that are praising themselves, Mamata Shaker. Oh, you see, I pledged yesterday $1,000 for this tzedakah, but then he doesn't pay the Mata Sheker. So his matana is false. So maybe that's the reason why there is no rain and there's a famine. But Kavali Matzah. No, it's an Ishda. Omar said, David HaMelech said, Ein David Tolid Ella B. I have to find out on my own, because I see by asking the populace, three times I struck out. That wasn't the reason. So David HaMelech asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mahi, how did he ask Hashem? How do you know he asked Urim B'Tumim? My Mashma, Amr Blaz, Asi Pnei Pnei, Exer Hashem. Here it says, Virakish David, Pnei Hashem. And Hachak, Siv Hachak, Pnei Pnei. Siv Hachak, Virakish David, Pnei Hashem. Uksiv Hosam, Vishal Loi Mishpat Urim, Lefnei Hashem. So just like that, Pnei, this Pnei. So he asked the Urim B'Tumim. V'yayim Hashem, so Kodesh Baruch Hu answered him. You know why there's a famine? For two reasons. Number one, El Shaul, being Shaul HaMelech. V'yel Beis Adomim, Al Asher Hemes HaGivoinim. And also because of Nebuch, the terrible slaughter, that he, Shaul HaMelech, killed the Givoinim. And now the Gemara explains what means two reasons. El Shaul, V'yel Beis Adomim, that he killed the Givoinim. El Shaul, Shaul Nisbet Kaloch. The first reason why that there is a famine is because Shaul HaMelech never got a proper hesped. And therefore the Gemara is saying that Shaul deserved a popular hesped, a proper hesped, and he didn't get one. That was reason number one. And number two, well, Beis Adomim ala Shehemes HaGivoinim, because he, Shaul HaMelech, killed the Givoinim. Frey Timara, v'cheyecha batzidik b'Shaul Shehemes HaGivoinim, I never heard about Shaul killing Givoinim. I heard about Shaul having the Noiv Erekehanim killed. What does that have to do with Givoinim? So there's Yimur al Mitoich Shaharik Noiv Erekehanim. Since, because Doig HaDoimi instructed him or advised him, Shaul said, yes, go and kill Noiv Erekehanim. And that's what happened. And the Noiv Erekehanim were Maspikim Lohem Mayim Ummazayim. They supplied food for the Givoinim. Why did they supply food for the Givoinim? Because the Givoinim, in turn, were the Choytve Eitzim Sheavi Moyim for the city of Noiv and for those Kahanim. And now that Noiv Kahanim is killed out, guess what? There's no one to support now the Givoinim. So now the Givoinim went penniless and foodless and they died. So even though Shaul didn't kill the Givoinim directly, indirectly killed them by killing their suppliers of food and water. So now, says the Gemara, L'choyra, I have something which is an oxymoron. I'm saying that the reason why there is a famine is because we didn't give Shaul the proper kavod. And then we say there's another reason why there's a famine, because Shaul did this terrible act of killing Noiv, which caused the death of the Givoinim. So, you know, make up your mind. Right. Is Shaul a good guy? Is there a bad guy? So, it's not an oxymoron. In the Omer Reish Lakish, Micah Sif said the Pasuk, Bakshus Hashem Kol Am Ve'Aret, Asher Mishpatei Po'alu. What does that mean? Vashem Mishpatai Shom Poalu. What does that mean? If you look at the last Rashi on the Amud, Vashem Mishpatai, the last line, the Mokim Shedonu Adam Shom Maskirin Poil Tzidkoisav. Even though we're being down the person for his sins, but at the same time, we're also going to mention the good things that he did. As any good criminal lawyer will tell you, and Jeff is on the line, he can share this with us, when they're about to punish someone who is accused of doing something criminal, they go and have 500 people send in letters saying that this guy is the tzaddik hador, he's the nicest guy you ever met, and they give a full loose leaf of all these written in the letters to the judge to show this guy is really a wonderful guy, and this behavior was just an aberration. He really doesn't deserve any punishment at all. He deserves to get the Medal of Honor because he's really a great person. So we're saying the same thing about, right? Is that more or less correct, Jeff? Yeah? Am I saying it correctly?
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, so that's what Agmor is telling us. Even though Shaul, in this respect of killing Noivir Kahanim and indirectly killing the Givoinim, is Taka Nishgit, but at the same time that we're talking about his Mishpat, of sins. Shabbat, we also have to mention the good things that he did. And why didn't we mention it? How come we never had a hesbid kahalach? So I'm a David. David says, I want this famine to end, so I have to address these two issues. Shaul, that I should go make now a hesbid for Shaul. Nafkalahu treisi yarchichot. More than 12 months have passed. It's known the derech to go be masbid someone after 12 months. And if you remember, Gemara in Sefer Moed Katan says it's better not making hespedim after a year because you only open up the wounds vis-a-vis the mourners. The mourners for a whole year, they got their tanchumen, they got their consolation. After the year is over, okay, we move on. If you open up the can again and you start talking about all the wonderful things that this person did, that can cause them to cry and to have sorrow and to remember the good old days. The best thing after 12 months, you know, I can't spend. What about the Nesinim? Nikrinu when I've sinu. Since we have now the second sin, which was Shaul caused the Nesinim to die in Neuver Kadam, let's cause the new generation of Nesinim, their children, grandchildren, whatever, let's try to be Mephias them. And Hashem, we're going to learn about that tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Isai. Brother Shai, hopefully we'll see you tomorrow in person.
Yeah, hopefully those PCR tests that took will come back negative, so yes.
Have a good one.